Today is a very powerful feast, the Feast of the Holy Family. And today we get a window into the Holy Family, specifically through St. Joseph. And I'm going to kind of orient my homily a little bit today, mostly towards St. Joseph. Preached about Mary for the Immaculate Conception, so Joseph gets his turn today. It's interesting, as we look at the gospel passage today, we see two models of fatherhood. We see two fathers. First, St. Joseph, and then who is the other father that's presented? Herod. He's the other man that's presented in the gospel passage today. It's very interesting. These two men are almost set up as opposites in our gospel passage today. If you know anything about Herod, very capable man, very powerful man. He very politically astute. He used his skills to be able to gain political power and then to keep it. He kind of did whatever he had to retain that power. He originally sided with Mark Antony when Mark Antony had power, and he got some power in Israel. And then when Mark Antony fell and Caesar Augustus came into power, Herod then sided with Caesar, who ended up allowing him to become the king of Judea and of the Jews. Herod clung to that power with all that he had, and that's why, of course, we hear today about him seeking after the Christ child to kill him, because the Messiah was a threat to his power. Even more so than this, you may not know this about Herod, but he was so focused on his own power, keeping that authority, that he actually ended up killing three of his own sons, who he thought were plotting against him to take over his throne. Very different image of a father than what we see from Saint Joseph. See, Saint Joseph protects and safeguards his son, using his power and strength to save Mary and Jesus' life and to provide for them physically and spiritually, whereas Herod's whole existence was conditioned by and predicated upon what was good for Herod. Joseph's whole existence was oriented towards obedience to the word of God. Herod uses his strength for himself, whereas Joseph transcends himself and listens to God, does his will, and because of this is able to give protecting life to those that have been entrusted to him, his family, Mary and Jesus. He hears, he obeys, and he protects. Joseph's whole life was determined by the will and purpose of God. And it's something very important for us to reflect on today, especially for us men here today, that Saint Joseph is a powerful model to us of our purpose in life, of who we're called to be as fathers. It's very interesting. What separates men from women in this world? Is it size? Is it strength? If you really want to get down to it, the only thing that separates men from women is that a man has the capacity to become a father, and a woman has the capacity to become a mother. And a man, you know, becomes a father in many different ways. Maybe he becomes a father physically by becoming a husband and then bearing children. Maybe he becomes a spiritual father, a priest, a brother, a monk who pours out his life in service to the church and to the flock, bearing fruit spiritually in the people he's called to care for. That's me. Or even someone who's called to the single life but pours out their life as a father, caring for those who God brings into their life, mentoring and loving them. All of us men are called to be fathers. And it's very interesting today, Herod and Joseph today set up to us, show us today, and maybe help us to reflect on what does it truly mean to be a father? You know, Joseph loved God and God's purposes. That's what made him a holy father. That's what made him the patriarch of the Holy Family. It's very interesting. I want to talk today about that holiness of Joseph, which really is about his strength that he chooses to give in service to others, specifically his wife and his son, Whereas Herod uses his strength for himself. That's what distinguishes Joseph and what makes him the father of the Holy Family. It's interesting, St. Joseph's strength, if you've ever seen nativities, a lot of time it's very interesting, St. Joseph is often portrayed as an older man. Maybe you've seen it in artwork, or even in statues, or even in nativity scenes where Joseph is kind of this older man, he's got this white hair, he's kind of a little feeble. Now our St. Joseph up here isn't old, he's got his full head of hair, nice brown hair, so not like some of these images that we see, but you might ask yourself, why is that, that some of these paintings have Joseph like this? It's interesting, if you look at the biblical evidence and what the theologians say, there's really no evidence to show that Joseph was old when he married Mary. Why then do artists portray him that way? It's very interesting. The reason why is they do it because they're trying to protect Mary's virginity. Mary, of course, is the ever-virgin mother. And so if we can make Joseph old and weak, then he's not dangerous to Mary's virginity. You know, he's too old. He's not interested in that kind of stuff anymore. It's very interesting. You know, because he's weak, he's no longer a danger to her. And I bring that up because I think that is really the most false thing ever about St. Joseph. It totally goes against his true identity as a man who gives his strength for the other. And just think about practically what St. Joseph had to do to protect the Holy Family. You know, what we read about today in our gospel passage was about them having to flee to Egypt. Flee to Egypt. You know, we're not talking about just hopping on a plane and arriving in Cairo and then, you know, getting an Airbnb until the new house is set up. It's very interesting. We don't have a good modern understanding of what it meant to travel back in the olden days. Today, we want to go somewhere, we hop on a plane, we buy a ticket the day of, and we're there. You know, there's places to rent. It's so easy. Back in the olden days, if you were going to travel, specifically go into a country that wasn't your own, it meant a bunch of different things. It meant that you were going to have to face the elements. To get to Egypt, Joseph had to take Mary and Jesus through two deserts. The Sinai Desert, the Sahara, and the Eastern Desert, which is part of Israel. He had to bear the elements, all the risk there of possibly perishing of thirst, of hunger, having to fight off bandits, which were very typical back in the day. It meant getting to this new place in Egypt, and then because they were outsiders, possibly being shunned, not being able to make a living because they were outside Jews, not Egyptians. Mary and Jesus needed a strong man who was able to protect them and had the physical strength to do that. It's interesting today, though, as we reflect on St. Joseph's strength, I always find it interesting. Our world nowadays doesn't like masculine strength. If you look at our culture nowadays, oftentimes you hear this stuff about like toxic masculinity. You know, kind of this masculinity maybe that we see with Herod, where he's using his strength for himself, and in doing so, he hurts and wounds others who he's called to protect, ultimately killing his sons. You know, this toxic masculinity is really what so often the world pushes men into nowadays. They can become the brute, the bully, where they use their strength for themselves. That's so common in our culture. Today was interesting. I was running the other day, and just for I was thinking about the homily, and I was like, I want to see what the world's saying to men. So I was exercising, so I went to Spotify and went to the most popular exercise music. The name of the album or whatever was called Beast Mode. And it had 7 million likes. So 7 million people liked this, and then probably even more millions listened to this Spotify songs. And these songs, I couldn't listen to it very long, were just so full of such evilness about toxic masculinity. The first song was called You, and the whole song was about you. It's all about you. You can do it. Yeah, you can make it. It's all about you. Get what's yours. You know, you think about a lot of the songs that we hear nowadays about, once again, this toxic masculinity, you know, that it's all about you using your strength to get what you deserve. Money, fame, women. This toxic masculinity that we see with Herod. And you know, the world, maybe with good sense, responds negatively against that. You know, because that's so bad, masculine strength is so bad, we need to make men weak, because then they'll be safe. Then they can't hurt anyone. So what's the world's response that we see so often nowadays? Instead of the brute or the bully, let's emasculate men. Let's make them the slacker guy, you know, who sits at home all day and plays video games, who doesn't really do anything great with their life, but hey, they're not hurting anyone, but they're not doing anything great either. That slacker dude that's a big part of our culture nowadays, that's a man who has wasted his strength needlessly. And that's really what's lifted up by our culture as like the ideal man nowadays, the nice guy who gets along well with everyone and doesn't hurt everyone. He's nice and he's good. Why? Because he's harmless. Yeah, he's harmless to those he might hurt with his toxic masculinity, but think about it, he's also harmless to all the bad guys in the world and all the evil forces that are coming against him and all the people that are going to be entrusted to him in his life to protect. As a future husband, as a future father, he can't stand up and fight for those he loves because he's checked out. He's slacking. He's turned in his purpose to protect for the comfort, the pleasure, the distractions, the niceness of this world. So the world pushes men nowadays into one of these two categories, either the beast brute bully like Herod or the slacker guy who has no strength to protect those who are in need. Dear brothers and sisters, St. Joseph today is an example to us that really there's a third option. There's a third option that all of us men are called to in our fatherhood that we're called to live. And it's the reality of cultivating our strength and using it, not for ourselves, but for others. The identity of a father who's the dangerous protector. You know, men are called to be dangerous. I know that might sound odd, but really men are called to be dangerous. Moms and grandmothers out there, I hope you want your sons and grandsons to be dangerous. Now, not reckless, but dangerous. What do I mean by that? You want your sons and grandsons to be able to stand up one day for, once again, the people that are going to be entrusted to them. You want them to be capable of fighting for their own soul and for others. I love, my dad is a powerful example of this in my life. I'm so blessed to have a dad who, you know, is dangerous. He taught me how to be dangerous from a young kid. I remember always hearing the story about him when he was in his young 20s. He and his sister did backpacking in Europe for 6 months, a huge adventure. They set aside all this money to do backpacking for 6 months, and they were going from country to country. And in Italy, they were going down one side street one day, and they got lost, and they turned around, and there was a guy in the alleyway with a knife pulled on him who was trying to mug them and was saying, "Give me all your money," basically. Now, my dad was there with his sister in his young 20s. Think about it, you know, very easy to just hand over their money, everything that they had, and then what? Call mom and dad and say, "Hey, we got mugged. We have to end our vacation. Wire us money, and we have to fly home." But that would be the end of all the time and money that they had saved for this occasion. So once again, my dad, just such an example for me, guess what he did? So he turned around, faced the guy, took his backpack, put it around in front of him, and then used it as a battering ram and then sprinted at this guy and just knocked him out back into the street. And the guy ran away. He saved himself and his sister, and they continued the last 4 months of their trip. That's the dangerous man, the dangerous protector that all of us men are called to be. You see, it's not a virtue to be weak. You look at the Latin word for virtue, virtus, if you translate it, it actually means manly strength. True virtue means I have the strength to do what I want, but I'm going to use that strength to do what I ought. You know, Christ only describes himself once in the scriptures about his personality. It's very interesting, where he talks about, you know, "Come to me, all you who are labored and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and humble of heart." That's the one time that Christ describes himself, that he is meek. It's very interesting. When the world looks at toxic masculinity today, or just masculinity in general, oftentimes they say, well, let's make the guy weak. Oftentimes we think that means making the guy meek. Maybe because that rhymes, being weak and meek, I don't know. But really, being meek is about my strength coming under control so that I can use it for its true purpose, which is to bless and safeguard others, especially as a man. Think about like a wild stallion. This is a beautiful example of meekness. When a cowhand has to break a stallion, the verb that's used is they go and meek the stallion. To meek a stallion means to basically tame it, but you can never tame a stallion. It's basically taming the stallion to the point where you can ride the stallion, you can use the stallion, but the stallion still has all of the strength and power within it and can use it at a moment's call if needed by the rider. So you don't take away the strength from the stallion, it's brought under control so it can be used for its proper purpose. What Jesus is saying about himself when he says, I'm meek and humble of heart, he's saying, within me, I have all of the power of the Most High God that is under control and at the service of those who need it. Joseph was meek and righteous, using his strength to bless those who were entrusted to him, Mary and Jesus. You know, once again, it's that dangerous fatherhood that us men yearn for. Is it very interesting? In that same running trip, I was running and I saw, once again, it was just God's providence. It was really interesting. I saw two young kids. It was a 3-year-old and probably a 5-year-old, two young boys who were playing outside and playing with probably one of their Christmas toys. They were playing with one of these stomp rockets. Have you seen this? It's like a launch pad that you run up to and you step on and it shoots the rocket way up in the air. Not exactly the most safe toy ever. So they're sitting there and they're loving it. They jump and launch on this rocket and it goes up in the air and then they're trying to get underneath it and step out of the way at the last second. Once again, dangerous masculinity. You know, and they're loving it. I run by and I don't joke with you at all. One of the kids, he saw me and he looks at me and he goes, "Rah!" That's a kid alive in the dangerous masculinity, a boy that he's called to use that strength one day to bless. It's a powerful image for me. But you know what struck me the most was there was those two young boys there. They were playing with their mom. The question I asked myself, because I was thinking about this homily, was, where's their dad? You know, maybe he's at work. You know, I'm not trying to knock him. Maybe he was out making a living for them or working with one of the other kids, but isn't that a powerful image of so often what our culture is like nowadays and how we as men are yearning to be led in dangerous masculinity like St. Joseph, and we haven't always had that? Places of woundedness where our own fathers, in their woundedness and imperfection, couldn't show that to us? Places where the world has trapped us and convinced us to be like the bully Herod or the slacker guy? It's interesting, you see, the evil one hates fatherhood. You know, he hates God the Father. He also hates motherhood, of course. You know, Mary crushes the head of the serpent, but Satan hates God the Father. And every man is created with the image of God the Father within us. So it's no wonder he attacks that fatherhood within us. You see, he's trying to take away our strength, and he's sneaky about the way he does it. St. Peter writes in 1 Peter, "Be sober and vigilant because your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, solid in your faith." Devil is like a roaring lion, prowling lion, looking for someone to devour. It's very interesting. If you know anything about lions, there's always what? In a pride, there's the alpha lion, whose job is to take care of the pride. It's interesting, oftentimes younger lions challenge the alpha lion. When they fight, do you know what they go after when they fight against each other? It's not the head. It's not the nice, beautiful mane. It's not the body or the chest. They go after the genitals. Because they know If I can take away the fatherhood from this lion, he's no use to the pride. He can't be a father. I've castrated him, and so now I'm the alpha male. That's what the evil one does against us men. He's always seeking to emasculate and castrate our strength. Our God-given sexuality, to use our strength to bless others. Speaking of the evil one as a prowling lion, you know, if we look at our culture nowadays, and I know so many young men, so many middle-aged men, so many old men who have had their strength taken away from them because of the sin and the burden and the difficulty of the scourge of pornography nowadays. This place where faith has been stripped away from the men of the world because of this trap of the evil one. You know, they don't live terrible lives. They're not robbing banks or killing people. But men are losing their souls by just scrolling through their phone or on their computer. And it's taking away from their relationship with God, their relationship from the church, and their relationship with their wife and their kids. You know, and they know who God is, but they don't know the mercy of God that's wanting to restore them, you know. Maybe we look out too, and I always feel it sometimes. I look out sometimes on Sunday, and I see families, and I say, you know, where are the men? So many of us have been trapped and emasculated, once again, from the prowling, roaring lion that is the evil one, who desires to strip our strength so that we can't protect those who have been entrusted to us. See, the evil one knows if he can take out St. Joseph, it's easy to get to Mary and Jesus. So he goes after us men in our life. So how do we invite God into that place in our heart to bring healing, to restore us in the strength that is our God-given right as men called to be fathers? Well, St. Joseph, he's the intercessor, the patron saint of men, of chastity, of the Holy Family. You know, one of his titles is the terror of demons. How kick-ass is that? I mean, how awesome is that? You know, I use that strong language because that's the truth of his power. If we're willing to invite him in our life and allow him to transform us as men, to intercede for us and our families. You know, you see, Mary could bear the Son of God, but Joseph would name the Son of God. Think about it. Joseph was the one human being that God, the Son of God, Jesus, called Dad. Joseph taught the Son of God how to pray. God, the Father from all eternity, chose one human being to be his representative to his only begotten Son while he was on earth, Joseph. God, the Father, is the source of all fatherhood, but St. Joseph is the model of all fatherhood. Now, is he perfect? No. It's interesting, he was married to a perfect woman. He had a perfect son, but he was imperfect. But he listens, obeys, and in doing so, he pours out his strength for love of the family. You know, for us men, one thing we've got to ask ourselves today is my life look like a constant outpouring of my strength for others? For my wife, for my kids, for the church, for the poor? Or has my strength been wasted on myself? St. Joseph wants to free us there. So we ask for his intercession today as he awakens us to the truth of who we're called to be, as he invites us to bring those wounds of our life where we've been emasculated and lost our strength so that we might be restored by God, the places where we're being invited to let God's strength and faith be renewed in our heart, to listen to God, obey his commands, and thus protect those who have been entrusted to us. You know, to return to the image of Herod and St. Joseph, the question for us men today is, which patriarch are we going to be? The patriarch of the world or the patriarch of the Holy Family? Are we going to use our strength for ourselves to seek ambition and power? Or are we going to pour out our strength in obedience to God, protecting those who have been entrusted to us? Through the intercession of St. Joseph, the terror of demons, we ask that we would be able to give our life in service to those who have been entrusted to us. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.